Please have a seat. So good to have you here today. This is a very, very different Thanksgiving. And indeed a very, very different year. With the year, I don't know how your vacations have been. I know we ended up with a staycation this summer, but back in May, we were able to get away to Vernon, BC, beautiful spot. There's a Christian retreat center halfway up the mountain that ends up eventually at Silver Star Ski Area. So we got to go there. And talk about a view. Unbelievable. If you've been to the Okanagan, you're up there looking at Kalmelka Lake and the north end of the Okanagan and the mountains in between and all around, and it's just spectacular. But a lot of the week was cloudy. A lot of the week was rainy. And instead of the spectacular view, we saw fog. But you know, even though the fog was there, the reality of that view didn't change. It was there behind the fog. And when the fog lifted, there it was again. To me, that's a bit of a description of Thanksgiving 2020. Fog has rolled in this year. It's rolled in with this pandemic, and you can give the fog a lot of names. Pandemic restrictions, limits, masks, disagreements around masks and limitations, uncertainty, frustration, change, disruption. And the fog rolling in, I wonder if sometimes we forget that God hasn't changed. And we focus on the fog. And the fog just seems to push at what isn't. I don't have what I'm used to. I don't have certainty. I don't have the freedom to travel and be with people like I want to be. It was fascinating this week as I sent out that email to many, many people. What are you thankful for? And response after response, I hope as they were shared, something warmed in your heart that God is still at work. Today I want us to look at what He is at work doing. We've been in Isaiah. Our whole, right now, we're focusing on this theme beyond. And today, can we look beyond the fog? The fog that focuses on what isn't and actually see the reality of what is, what God's up to. Through the front part of Isaiah, Isaiah definitely points to the fog. And he says, we're a nation in a, excuse me, a nation in a mess. We've turned our back on God. Instead of all that He has given us, we're pursuing our own thing. It's not good. But in chapter 5, he comes up with this vision of what God intended. And he uses the vision, the picture of a vineyard. All right? Let me read Isaiah 5, 1 and 2. I will sing for the one I love, Isaiah says, a song about his vineyard. Isaiah is saying, I love God. Here's what God has done and given. My loved one had a vineyard on a fertile hillside. He dug it up and cleared it of stones and planted it with the choicest vines. He built a watchtower in it and cut out a wine press as well. Then he looked for a good crop of grapes. When Isaiah would have presented this, when it would have been read, there'd have been many people who had vineyards and they'd have been going, fertile soil, choice vines, well-watered, protection of the watchtower. They'd have gone, this is going to be amazing. This vineyard is going to be productive. End of verse 2, but it yielded only bad fruit. And they're going, what? And even as they're thinking of that, God turns the tables and he says, this is really a picture of what's going on. Now you dwellers in Jerusalem, people of Judah, verse 3, judge between me and my vineyard. What more could have been done for my vineyard than I have done for it? Wow. God is saying, I have given you everything for your lives to be fruitful. There to be a thriving of life. But you've looked outside the walls of the vineyard. Now you might go, what does this have to do with Thanksgiving? Well, praise God, this is not the end of the story. And we're going to chase that image of vineyard throughout the Bible, and eventually we come to the New Testament, John 15, verse 5. What does Jesus say? I am the vine, you're the branches. So now Jesus, to his followers, says, you're my vineyard now. And if you remain in me and I in you, you'll bear much fruit. Kind of sound like Isaiah 5. But apart from me, you can do nothing. In Jesus, all that God wanted for his people as his vineyard, in Jesus, it's all restored. So if we go back to Isaiah 5 at God's intention, we are going to see indeed that all we have needed, God's hand has provided. So we're going to see. He's provided everything we need. So I want us to go back to Isaiah 5. We're going to see what God, his intention was for his people back then and is now made real in Jesus in more profound and deeper ways than they could have ever imagined. And we will see that all we have needed, indeed, God's hand has provided. So what has he provided? Well, the first thing you see right away, he's provided a context for our inner world to thrive. Not a promise right now that all our circumstances will be easy, but it's a promise that it can be well with our souls. Let me set this up. Soren Kierkegaard, a great Christian thinker, told this parable. I may have shared it before. It's a parable of a lily. We've got these sunflowers here. Fall, Thanksgiving. Well, here was a lily planted by a stream. And all of the moisture from that stream, the soil was good, and the lily flourished. Enjoyed every day. And all that it had until the bird came. Probably a magpie. Who knows? Magpie got in its ear. You think you've got it good, but I can fly and I've seen lilies. I've seen big lilies. I've seen flourishing lilies. And you're just here by a little brook. And after enough of this in his ear, the lily started to feel incapacitated by not enoughness. Something inside started to wonder if there was more. How do I get more? How do I get out of this soil? Get better soil. So they hatched a plan. One day the bird came and pecked around the lily's roots until they were able to lift it up and be carried to other places. But you know the end of the story. Taken out of its rootedness, the lily withered, and the lily died because it didn't appreciate the soil it had been planted in. Isaiah 5, 1. I will sing for the one I love a song about his vineyard. My loved one had a vineyard on a fertile hillside. It was fertile. Everything that lily needed was in that soil. Everything we need, God says, I'm giving you. For peace, for joy, for hope. And again, we live in a fallen world. He's not saying right now circumstances are going to be easy. And neither is he saying we need to ignore the circumstances and pretend they're not there. What he does say is when all those circumstances hit, our roots can be deep. There can be a hope and a joy and a peace. We're going to go to the New Testament with each of these and just see how Jesus now has made this available. John chapter 7, if we go there. Here's what Jesus says. Verse 37, on the last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as scriptures have said, rivers of living water will flow from within them." By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Wow. Jesus is saying, I planted you in the life that was perfect for you, but you as humanity have gone your own way, but now he's proclaiming that that's going to change. There's coming a day, if you come back to what I provide, if we come back through his provision on the cross when he died and rose again, he says, not only will I forgive you, but my very life will once again be in you in the person of the Spirit. Amen. You're going to be planted in my presence. And that's where life's going to come from. So many of the people who got back to me, what are you thankful for in the midst of COVID? Remarked about how God was replanting them in the soil. One person, I'm thankful for the disruption to our lives from COVID. It has caused many believers to reflect on the importance of their relationship with Jesus and draw closer to him as a result. I love how this one young father put it. He said, one thing that instantly comes to mind is that working from home and flexibility from my employer gives me the chance to walk my young son to and from school every day. It's short, but special one-on-one time that I get with him every day, and I really look forward to it. And then right away he puts, and after writing that down, I had a flash of God thinking of my time, devotionals, prayer time in his presence that he has with me. And it sort of tugs at my heart. In the midst of COVID, one-on-one time with his son gives me this picture of one-on-one time with my father. And maybe COVID allows us or draws us back to. Another person, I've been thankful for the forced opportunity to slow down. I find it difficult at times, but I'm learning to be quiet and still at home, and I'm trying to be more aware of God's presence and what he's saying to me. Another person, when our usual routine was disrupted, God enabled us to see a greater blessing than we could have imagined. I've since been offering my mind in prayer as a living sacrifice. I'm grateful for God's continued grace-filled renewal that enables me to discern his will and helps me resist conforming to a lesser standard. Thanks be to God. Here's another one. In this COVID time, I've seen that God has power to redeem difficult situations. I believe this season has humbled me, and his humility has drawn me to a closer walk with God. Here's someone getting real honest. More than half my contract work dried up with one email. I had other work to last for a couple of months, but that came to an end too. But the providence of the Lord gave me the opportunity, the time to look within. And in doing so, I've been able to start healing some very old and deep wounds and start exploring a side of me I wasn't aware of. In some ways, because of this inner exploration, I'm more in pain now than before, but I know that will pass and the future is brighter. I read more, I take more time to pray, and all this was because I had to slow down. Wow. God, in this time, I believe, wants to take us deeper into his soil. So here's a question. How have you experienced the reality of God's presence through His Holy Spirit in these days? What might He be inviting you to? Say, God, when it's crazy, I know I need my rootedness. Forgive me for wanting to put those roots elsewhere. All we have needed, God's hand has provided. He's given us a context for our inner world to thrive. He's also given us, though, a community for mutual support and encouragement. If you show the next slide, I'm going to read the verse there, but we read about a fertile hillside. The vineyard's on a fertile hillside. Now, we don't get that. We might think that this is a slope and everyone's planting grapes up the slope. Not at all. Do you see how it's all terraced? What tended to happen, these were fertile hillsides, but there's a lot of rocks, so they picked the rocks. And if this was my strip of ground for my vineyard, I would build a wall here, level out the ground here. What happened then, the water would come, and instead of it just taking all the plants and eroding everything as it went down the hill, it would just kind of keep stopping, and it would gently water each terrace. But I want you to note something, and I'm grateful to a podcast for helping me get this context. If this was my strip, I built the wall that went down from mine, okay? Just as my neighbor uphill built the wall here. Well, who sees my rocks? My neighbor. Whose rocks do I see? My neighbor. And if his rocks start to fall, not only is my vineyard in danger of water eroding, his is, because he won't have water. So these terraces meant that my relationship with my neighbor was extremely important. My well-being depended on the well-being of my neighbor. I watched out for his rocks, and he watched out for mine. What a picture. And God said, that's how I planted you. But we read through Isaiah, you forgot that. You started living for yourself. And now there's injustice and there's greed and there's people forgotten and you don't have enough and all you're worried about is your own rocks and yet the whole thing is eroding. Might COVID be drawing us back to community and be thankful again for one another as we've taken it for granted? Let me read a few responses. I'm very thankful for the increased contact I've had with my family. We realized we could all meet virtually and easily, and we've done so every 2 weeks since shortly after the start of the pandemic. We've spanned the distance between different parts of BC and Alberta, Minnesota, London, England, and the Far East, all in one Zoom call. We'd have never done this without COVID. I've been able to connect with my family much more often than ever before. It's awesome. We're starting in a whole new way to take care of each other's rocks. Someone simply wrote, I'm grateful for the community of friends and family who share life together regardless of circumstances. We need each other. Another one, I'm thankful for the community we have at McKernan Baptist, through the church body on Sunday, even if remote, and through our small group that's just started meeting again in person with all the precautions. And this one more, friendships and interactions that I used to take for granted, I now treasure. God has given us neighbors to watch out for us, for our mutual well-being as we watch out for them. So here's the question. Why is it important to intentionally develop relationships of support and accountability with other believers? It is. Hebrews 10:24 reminds us that we're to spur one another on to love and good deeds and that we're to encourage one another. And so often we think we have to be in the church on Sunday morning for that to happen, but throughout the week, if you're feeling isolated, please reach out. If you don't know where to start with that, please let us know as staff. This is our one big concern, that we're missing people right now. If you feel isolated, please contact us. Contact someone you know. Be honest. Oh, and for all of us, too, to say, whose rocks might God be having me check up on? Who can I call? What if I committed to, like, one email or contact, like, every other day? Can you imagine? All we've needed, God's hand has provided. Community of mutual support. The next thing he says is a place of protection. He's provided protection. It's fun. One of the things that I just am so thankful for are my grandchildren. You take a 2 and 3-year-old to the playground, though, you got to be on. You can't just let them do their thing. They don't quite know that yet. I'm good, Grandpa. But if they're going up that pretty steep ladder, Grandpa's not very far away. They might be oblivious, but Grandpa knows. There's some danger lurking. Let's go to verse 2 here back in Isaiah 5. He dug it up, cleared it of stones, planted it with the choicest vines. He built a watchtower in it. They would often, with some of those rocks, build a tower. You can kind of look over. You can see the predators that might want to take those grapes. And you can see any thieves who might be entering in. A watchtower. Fascinating when you read what Jesus has said to us. He came. He died on a cross for our salvation, our restoration to Him. But knowing that while we live in this life, though, we still are in a battle. Jesus was asked, how do we pray? You've heard, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. There's a line when we pray that prayer. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one, which really is more literally the idea, from the evil one. Living in 2020, people might say we're crazy to think there's an unseen world, but Jesus taught us to pray, giving us a worldview that that's indeed the way it is. You know, there's so many questions around COVID we can't answer, but one thing we know is if we're following Jesus, there is a kingdom of darkness that wants to use this to knock us out. But all I've needed, your hand is provided. Victory is there. The opposition most often comes in the form of distorted thinking. God, you don't love me anymore. I'm on my own. It's going to be better if I go outside your will to get what I want. I'm just going to stay isolated. No one cares. No. Those are lies. Deliver me from that temptation and that thinking. To wake up in the morning here, God is saying that we pray the prayer, God, protect me today. Whatever evil would do to take me out, I'm saying no in the name of Jesus. May I walk forward in your protection. He's given us a place of protection. Let's just review. All we've needed, His hand has provided. Context for inner growth, community for support, protection from the enemy in a vulnerable time. The next one is a promise of significance, fruitfulness. Some news stories you read are just kind of bizarre. This one, there's a bunch of old guys who used to meet like at a coffee shop once a week in the morning, and they solved the problems of the world. So they thought, for a joke, why don't we take our wisdom on the road? And they went to the local farmer's market on Saturday morning, put up a table and a sign, Old Coots Giving Advice. It's probably bad, but it's free. People started showing up. They became a regular every week. 30 to 40 people. Tells me two things. These people had more to offer than they ever thought they had. And there's a lot of people, secondly, out there who need someone just caring. Right? we might find ourselves wondering if we could ever be used by God. And then we read Isaiah 5, verse 2. It says, he dug it up and he cleared it of stones and he planted it with the choicest vine. You're a choice vine. Everything necessary for God to bear fruit in and through you is there. He built a watchtower and cut out a wine press. You don't cut out a wine press until you really expect there's going to be fruit, right? So he looked for a crop of good grapes. Jesus has come. If we have asked him to forgive our sins, lead our life, we're in relationship with him, what does he say of us? We'll go back to John 15, verse 5. I'm the vine, you're the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. There it is. Oh, but I'm inadequate. All you have needed, God's hand has provided. But if I was in some other circumstances, no. All you have needed, God's hand has provided. Well, when COVID's over, no. There's a lot of need in the world. In our neighborhoods, in our city, the marginalized, around the world. How might God, in this time, be saying to you, you're a choice vine and I'm in you. Just make yourself available. Listen to this one person's answer. One of the things I've been especially thankful for during this time has been what I like to call divine appointments in my calendar. Not only has my schedule become more flexible with less going on, but so has the schedules of the people around me. I've connected with people in really deep and meaningful ways, whether it's going for a walk with someone, a lunch appointment, or chatting at the hockey rink. My kid's playing hockey. It's an amazing thing when you show up to something and find God there waiting for you. All you have needed, his hand is provided. It has stoked within me a fire deep within. Jesus says, my food is to do the will of him who sent me. Those words make more sense to me these days. We can't host the way we used to, but God hasn't stopped using us to advance his kingdom. Just be available. Start conversations. Ask your neighbors what they need, your work associates. All you have needed for God to do in and through you what he wants, he's provided, and he's providing. Let's praise him for this life of significance. But then we might think, you know, even as you're sharing all this, I don't see it in my life. What do I do? The final blessing I want us to talk about today is that God has also given a way back. A way back to his vineyard and his plan for us. One of the ways, when we study Scripture, one of the ways our eyes need to be opened is to just track how a theme is developed throughout Scripture. Isaiah 5, God has given a vineyard and he intends it to be wonderful, but you've messed it up. Isaiah 27, verse 2, in that day, and he's always talking about a day when God will work to restore. In that day, sing about a fruitful vineyard. I, the Lord, watch over it. I water it continually. I guard it day and night so that no one may harm it. Do you see that? Isaiah 5, yeah, you've messed it up, and there's going to be consequences and judgment, but that's not the end. The end is a new vineyard, and then we come to the New Testament, and Jesus dies on a cross so that we can be restored to him, and he says, I am the vine, and you are the branches. You're my new vineyard. Oh, but I've messed up. Now there's always a way back to the vineyard. Luke 15 shows us the beauty of the way back. Farmer, maybe he had a vineyard, who knows? His son looked around the farm and said, not for me. Took the inheritance, ran away, did his own thing, faces the consequences and wonder, can I go back? Verse 18. I'll set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. So he went up and got up and went to his father. Here's the beauty of the passage. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. There's a way back through Jesus. It doesn't matter how far you've gone. Jesus says, come back. Just come back. Some of you might go, you know, for me, though, it's not like I've gone and wandered way far off. It's just something inside that's missing, and I'm angry. And in fact, I'm angry at God, and I don't know what to do. I've been serving him, and it's so hard. Well, the parable talks about another son, and that was where he was at. God, my circumstances just aren't what they want, and you love this brother, and what's with me? And the father just lovingly invites him back into the party, too. My son, the father said, you're always with me. Everything I have is yours, but we have to celebrate and be glad. Come back to the party. Come back to the party. I don't know where you're at today. Maybe it doesn't feel thankful. God just says, come back to the party the way you are. I know. Come back. I love you. My arms are open. He's saying, God so loved the world. That's the greatest thing we have to be thankful for. Because of the cross, we have a way back. And where this Thanksgiving might God be just inviting you back. Back from wherever you've gone, back from your inner thoughts and doubts and anger. Just to be honest. COVID has rolled in like a fog. And we have a choice. We can think the fog is real, or even while acknowledging the fog is there, know there's a reality it covers. And we can look up to that reality. And on this Thanksgiving, that is God's invitation to us to look beyond the fog to the reality that all we have needed, his hand has provided. Context for our inner lives to thrive. Community, mutual support. We guard each other's rocks. Place of protection. God, it's a vulnerable time. Protect me from the evil one. The promise of significance as I make myself available and I see the needs around me in the world, I just move out trusting him to work. And if that seems so hopeless, a way back, and his arms are wide open. All we have needed, his hand is provided. So God, open our hearts to see beyond the fog. God, you know the fog right now. God, there might be people in this room, and it's just time right now. You want to do some business, and your arms are open, and you're saying, come back. Just tell me it's hard. I know. Admit the places you've gone outside the vineyard. I know. I love you. Come back. God wants to gently resettle those roots into fertile ground. He wants to bring people around you. He will protect you as you lean into him. He'll show you those places around you, the people where you can just come and love, care. His arms are open. all we have needed, your hand has provided. Open our eyes, God, to what is true.